Our next story is quite shocking, and some listeners may find the details quite upsetting. And if children are listening, you might not want them to hear the show for the next 10 or so minutes. The Taoiseach is set to visit Drogheda after a teenager from the town was abducted, murdered, and his body dismembered. The killers then dumped the body parts in a number of locations in Dublin. The 17-year-old Keane Mulready Woods is believed to be the latest victim of a gangland feud. Let's talk now to the child protection expert and former PSNI detective superintendent Jim Gamble. Good morning to you, Jim.
Good morning.
And the crime correspondent with the Irish Daily Star, Michael O'Toole. Good morning to you, Michael, as well.
Morning.
We'll start with you, Michael. What can be done to put a stop to this intense cycle of violence that's just claimed the life of a child?
Very little. I think when the police or the guards become involved, it's often too late. The law enforcement is often a sticking plaster in society's ills. So, but unfortunately, young Keane had become involved in criminality, and that can't be denied. He had been sucked into a very, very dangerous crime gang, which in itself was feuding with another very dangerous crime gang. So the goal is to stop people like Keane and his cohorts getting involved in criminality in the first place. So that's a societal issue. As ever, police and guards have to pick up the pieces. And this is a particularly horrific crime, and there will be, I would anticipate that there will be serious consequences, gangland-wise and murder-wise, in the Republic about this killing and about this feud for quite some time to come.
Yeah, some veteran crime correspondents and detectives saying that this is the most shocking and awful murder, calling it narco-terrorism, similar to what goes on, Michael, in the likes of Mexico.
I've covered at least 600 murders in my 20 years in the Star. I've been in the Republic since 97, so I've probably covered maybe around 900 murders. And they're all terrible, and each one it should be mourned. But this one is unique, I think, because there have been several cases in the Republic where people have been dismembered after they were murdered. But that was purely an expedient thing to get rid of the evidence, effectively. I remember one case where a fellow was put in a suitcase in the Grand Canal beside Croke Park. There was another fellow on the Dublin Meath border. He was chopped up, and that was to hide the evidence. In this case, unfortunately, this young boy was murdered and then dismembered, and the plan was to display his body parts in various parts of the Republic. There are various gang members that his gang was feuding with, and they wanted to put his head in one place, they wanted to put his limbs in another, just to, two fingers, basically.
Yeah, to send a real message to them. Jim, you were the head of Special Branch here trying to crush paramilitary gangs, and you know the gang scene in London as well. You know, what is the best way to try and tackle something like this? Because escalation is always, I'm sure, what's on the front of people's minds when they're trying to tackle this.
Well, I mean, you're dealing with a context of absolute fear, control and intimidation. As Deputy Director General of the National Crime Squad, dealing with serious and organised crime and in essence gangs, I've worked, you know, against Russian gangs, Albanian gangs and others where violence is used as a full stop at the end of a sentence. And this is as bad as anywhere. And I think we're dealing with a history where violence has become normalised because, you know, across the island of Ireland, paramilitary violence, has become a thing that we all acknowledge and accept. So the problem is that if you live in one of these areas, you're not going to be able to speak up. I remember the murder in a hotel, the Regency Hotel in Dublin, which was gang-related, where the gang actually had the audacity to dress in Garda uniform and go in with AK-47 rifles. And in the aftermath of lots of the good journalism that went on, one person being interviewed saying, oh, yes, I was there. And when the journalist said, well, what did you see? The person laughed and said, nothing. I need to be able to walk home tonight. So if you're going to reclaim the streets, it's going to require a massive investment. And there's going to need to be a 360-degree approach, which looks at how you deal with the social ills, the social harms, how children who are vulnerable are drawn in by the glamour, as they see it, of gangs, and then trapped by the violence of it. And we see that in county lines across England and Wales. But you also need an absolutely relentless approach by the police. And I think Drew Harris is well-placed with the experience to lead this, if they have the money to invest in it.
Of course, Drew Harris, he's the former PSNI Deputy Chief Constable here, and he moved down, was it last year?
Yes, I mean, it was either last year or just the end of the year before. But Drew was in charge of Crime Branch. And critically, he has the relationships with the National Crime Agency, which deals with transnational crime out of the UK. And he has the experience and credibility, because you're going to need to network this. You're not going to resolve this, you know, by focusing on Ireland alone. The fact is, many of these crime bosses, and, you know, there are two major factions that we know are feuding in Ireland at the minute, and been responsible for, I think, about 20 deaths over the last 5 years alone. Many of them live abroad. They're living in areas that are much warmer, you know, much safer to them, while these battles are fought out here.
Yeah.
So there's going to need to be a combined effort. But what we need to recognise is the criminal exploitation of children. So, yes, we can talk about this desperate crime and this young man and recognize that he was involved in crime, but he was indoctrinated into crime, not least by circumstances and then by those individuals who use young people as foot soldiers and cannon fodder.
Yeah. Let's talk more about Keane. Michael, who was Keane and how did he get caught up in this gang feud?
Well, there are two gangs. As often happens in gangland, one gang hives off into kind of a dispute maybe 3 or 4 years ago about a lost drug shipment. And that led to the gang splitting into. Keane would have grown up in Drogheda, quite well known in the area, and he would have been pretty close to the family of one of the rival gang leaders, and he just got sucked into it. He would have been 18 on the 5th of February, just a few weeks away, but he was already well known to Gardaí. Unfortunately, he had a suspended sentence. We know that he was involved in burning out a house. We know that he was involved in low-level criminality. Unfortunately, he just seems to have got on this perverse conveyor belt of crime where you start off small and just incrementally it gets worse and worse and worse. So it's a very, very sad story for him. He was, even though he was involved in crime, he was still jacked. And it's just, as Jim says, this sad relationship where people are drawn into crime.
And we're just struggling with your phone line, Michael, a little bit. We'll try and persevere for another moment or two. Leo Varadkar, that he shocked, he's described the murder as gruesome and grotesque. Is there a sense that the guards have lost control in some areas not able or capable of mounting an adequate response to something quite so horrible?
No, Jim mentioned the Regency attack. That was in February 2016, and there was a significant Garda response after that, which has effectively stymied the Kinnan Hodge gang behind, or the Kinnan gang behind most of those murders. That there was something like €5 million pumped into the special Garda units after that. And it's the same old, same old. The same old happened now. There was an election called in 2016, just there's an election now. Millions of euro will be pumped into the guards, and they will win once they're given the resources and the cash, I suppose, to go after these people. They usually end up winning, but it's just a vicious circle. You know, politicians ignore crime until it reaches a certain mass, and then they act, and that's what's happening here.
Okay, we'll leave it at that. Michael O'Toole and Jim Gamble, thank you both very much.